lie down and then you...
With poop.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is Radio Free Readout, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, proud and honored to be your host. Welcome all of you to episode 1417, the 17th episode of 2014. Makes sense? It's just a couple minutes after 8 o'clock on Sunday evening, the 4th. Of April, and the last 3 days have been an absolute blur, but it has been so good. I'm charged up. Welcome, patriots across the American Redoubt and outside the wire in occupied territory. You're not alone. We are broadcasting right now from the free zones inside the American Redoubt, hoping to inform you, inspire you, and bring encouragement and unification among like-minded, God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots. I have gone through some trials in the last couple of weeks, as most of you know. If you're new to Radio Free Readout, well, welcome. Great to have you with us. I know we have a lot of new listeners. We got to spread the word this weekend in Prosser, Washington, and I'm going to be talking about that and going back to that several times throughout tonight's show because there is so much to be gleaned from that. I just want to let you guys know that the website code, the code for the theme got corrupted over the weekend, and we had several emails. Oh, something's wrong with the website. And so we had our top people all over it. Delta 01 and Poly 01 were in conference call with each other, hammering that out most of the weekend while I was hammering out other things related to the rally this weekend. But that is all operational now and should be completely restored to the way it was Thursday before it crashed. So that's good to go. I have a new energy. I am refreshed. I am reinvigorated. I cannot tell you how overwhelming the support has been from all of you out there. You lose sight of that when you're in your studio and you're staring there at the microphone, and you know you get lots of emails from people, but to make that real human connection that there are people really out there that are counting on you to be that beacon of light, you know, out in the world of darkness. And the reality of that sometimes has a hard time really sinking in. I had the opportunity to meet several followers, partisans of Radio Free Readout, very loyal people who had some very heartfelt, encouraging things to say and showed their support in many, many ways through your prayers, through letters, through meeting some of you this weekend in person. And I cannot tell you how moving this whole experience has been. I have so many emails that I have yet to still go through. It has been just an avalanche of support. I just want to say God bless all of you guys and thank you so very much. And what this has done, though, is kind of like being thrown in the fire and being... There's a sifting going on. There's some changes going on. There's definitely the Lord has his hand on this movement and what he's doing in the hearts of people across this country. And I have a very unique position, and I've explained this to a couple people, being in the center of this, the hub of this. So many people saying you cannot not do what you are doing. It is so important. We feel so alone. And this was an interesting theme that I got from so many letters of support. And that is, I feel so alone. And when I listen, when I tune into Radio Free Readout, I realize I am not crazy. And that's an easy thing to slip into. When you're in California, when you're in Illinois, when you're in the Seattle area, when you are in some environment where you're outnumbered by people on the left, you start to wonder, you start to second guess yourself. Am I really crazy? Maybe I'm the one that's lost it and everybody else is, they start to make sense. and then you realize, hey, wait, you're not alone. Radio Free Readout is there to remind you that there are God-fearing patriots everywhere and all of you are connected and many don't even realize it. That somewhere, somebody is sitting there right now just as frustrated with things as you are. But you all, thousands of you, feel alone, and you're not. Well, because of all of the support that's come in this week that I cannot even begin to go into and really do it justice, I want to add some clarification. Radio Free Readout's not going away. It was never going to go away. I was just wondering, how am I going to do this? What is it going to look like if I have to scale this back? How much momentum will we lose? And you guys have stepped up and made it possible. We actually have some breathing room. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But what all of this has done through the last few weeks following this Bundy situation and then this big schism in the patriot movement, where you have conservative patriots now at each other's throats, and there's division, and there's, like I said, there's a sifting going on, and like in the Bible says, there's, you know, there's separation, the separating the goats from the sheep. There's a separating going on, and all of this had to happen, and it doesn't feel like it when you're going through it, and the despair sets in with people, and even myself, I was getting very discouraged, and but I'll tell you what, that has changed. I know that in this business, I have to develop some thick skin. And I don't really have a problem with that, but I also have to make sure that I stay humble through all of this, that I keep the right perspective. And then to make sure that you have thick skin without becoming calloused. And that's the fine line that you have to find there, because people are going to have differing opinions. And so, of course, we want to focus on those who are going to get on board to deal with, to band together, to deal with what we are facing in the future. I'm going to be talking about that throughout tonight's show. There is what Mrs. Schmidt called a cocoon moment, where something had to happen to take us to the next level. And that has happened. And it's very exciting, and it's very exciting to be on board with all of you through this process. I wanted to say real quick, for those of you who are wondering, we have stood down AMRON communication support teams. They will not be any more deployments or preparing to deploy or any other support for the Bundy Ranch situation. That has pretty much kind of simmered down. It stabilized. And the main reason is the main reason why the AMRON operators were supporting that and monitoring the frequencies is in the event of a disruption in the conventional communications. We no longer have AMRON teams involved in that, because since the de-escalation, it's now at the point that there does not appear to be any credible threat of conventional communications being disrupted. And nothing seems imminent, and it doesn't even, it's not even on the radar now. So they stood down. I want to let you guys know how encouraged I am, and I hope that you are encouraged as well. So many of you have sent letters and saying, oh, you're such an encouragement. You have to keep doing what you're doing. I don't even have the words to tell you how much of an encouragement that you are all to me, that we are in this together. I will get to these emails. I read every email. I don't... I've always tried to respond to every single one. And in the last month or so, I've gotten to the point where some are slipping through the cracks. Okay. I'm not blowing you off. I'm not, oh, this guy's dumb. I don't want to talk to him anymore. Okay. If you're supportive and you're on board and you're constructive, you're part of the team, you got the vision and you send an email, I see it. But sometimes it goes into the, let me click this, red flag it so I can come back to it. And then the list keeps slipping farther and farther away. Okay. So, I've mentioned that before, just throw up a little reminder. Hey, remember me and I'll get to you. But, I will be going through those. Very important. These emails that I've gotten this week, I was going to read some of them. I have one that I set aside. It was a handwritten note that was passed to me this weekend at the rally in Prosser, Washington. The theme is very similar, that you all are banding together to make sure that Radio Free Readout continues on, and not just continues on like a status quo thing, but actually grows and expands, that this mission continues and thrives. So that's a very important thing. The letters of encouragement also have a common theme, is there's no place else to go. We have to have unity. We have to have reason and a voice of reason. And that all of you feel alone until you tune in to Radio Free Readout. And then you realize that you're part of a large network of people that feel just like you. These letters of encouragement from each of you, your prayers, the advice, the feedback on how to take Radio Free Readout to another level financially, all of these suggestions it's raw data that I have to sift through. I'm going to have to pray about this and seek counsel. And thank you so much. There's a lot of you with a lot of experience with, you know, helping a organization, you know, get funded or fund itself, or, you know, to promote that movement. And you guys, I have so much information now. I have to sift through it all. In the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to figure out, is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? And of course, Mrs. Schmidt needed to know what I'm doing. Hear that email? That's not you. That's me. I know everybody's like checking. Oh, I got an email. That was me. I should turn that off. Let me close it. Hold on. Because I know that happens like three or four times throughout the broadcast. And everybody thinks that you're getting emails. Okay. Mrs. Schmidt, two things here. She does the finances. And she is a Proverbs 31 woman. She takes care of the home and she takes care of the finances. My job is to provide. And this reevaluation that I've been going through in the last couple of weeks, and plus the frustration of dealing with some apparently, you know, patriots, and they are patriots, had some knee-jerk reactions to some things that went on in the last couple of weeks. They fired from the hip. And since then, I've gotten some amazing stories from the people who wrote me emails that I addressed last weekend, and we're good. There is healing among the ranks. There's still division among the ranks. We need to address that. But sometimes we just got to step back, take a deep breath, and realize how we're approaching something. That's happening. That's very encouraging. But I got discouraged last week, as most of you know. Mrs. Schmidt is concerned about a couple of things. First of all, I have to provide for my family. Now, since that time, since last week, so many of you have stepped up pledging, and we'll talk about this a little bit, because I've reiterated, I'm not in this for the money. I'm not trying to get rich doing this. This is a cause I firmly believe in, but I have a family to support now. And the other thing too, more importantly than that, is Mrs. Schmidt wants to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that it's the will of God, that I believe I'm led to do this. She needed affirmation. Well, she's gotten it. And, you know, she stands by me. She believes in all of this, but she wants to know that I am doing His will. This is the first opportunity she's really had to come face to face with supporters on a real a level that's not like, you know, we do a Second Amendment rally or something like that, and she'll show up to help out if like with an information booth or something. And people are like, hey, keep up the great work. Oh, this is cool, cool, Radio Free Readout. And that's pretty much the superficial level that she normally has been exposed to. You guys have exposed your hearts and reciprocated to what I laid out there last week. She's seen the letters. She's looked at you in the eye. She's had people pull her to the side and say, you have no idea how important this is to us. Thank you for supporting him. So she got an opportunity to meet people who came to this rally, this expo over this past weekend over in Prosser, Washington. People flew in from New York. We had people come from Oregon, California, Idaho, Washington, Canada. And these are listeners, supporters. They're redoubters. They are Radio Free Readout partisans. And I'll tell you what, all of you guys that took the time, expense, made the way, I felt cheated because I did not have enough time to spend with you guys. But I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have met so many of you. That was really, truly a blessing. And she got to get exposed to that. On the way home, she says, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. I believe it. I believe that what you're doing is vital. And on the way home last night, we opened this envelope that a supporter handed to me. I waited until we were in the vehicle. We were back on the highway. We were headed back into deeper territory in the American Readout. She opened up a letter and she read it to me. There was a sizable sum of money in it. It's sizable to me. And it happened to be the exact amount that we needed. The Lord has provided for us for the last several weeks. Everything we needed, he provided. Nothing more and nothing less. That's an amazing place to be, where you have nowhere else to turn and to rely on but to him. And he's provided through you guys and a few other circumstances. It's just it's an amazing thing. I don't want to, out of respect for, you know, this is an intimate letter, but I just want to read a couple parts of it. And there's so many, I mean, I don't know how many letters I have of support from you guys. I'm just going to read a couple of them tonight. And there's a part of this one that she read on the way home. And it says, this is from a pair of his servants to you and your family. It is not for the future, but for the past. And your willingness to follow his lead, and your family's willingness to share you with your calling. We know what these demands are and the cost to the family. We hope this small gift will help refund some of the costs you have put into this project. All I ask, John, is that you keep looking to him and following that guidance to keep the family at number two and the country and the rest of us in the right place, in the right perspective, at number three. As Mrs. Schmidt read this on the way home, she wept. And that's when she looked at me and said, this is what you are supposed to be doing. I concede. And it was a pretty emotional moment. The whole thing, I mean, after an event like that, you just, everything that's bottled up just comes, you know, rushing out. So we are on a mission, and we are going to continue this. So many of you have been very helpful, the volunteers, the partisans. Polly01 volunteered. She went over to Prosser with us as well, and she was a very vital part of the success of this whole thing, helping people with communications, programming radios, answering a lot of questions about Radio Free Readout and AMRON and things like that. Now, this group of patriots that organized the event, they were so hospitable. They were such an amazing group of Christians, of patriots, average people, but they have a vision and a burning inside of their spirit for preserving Americanism. And out of this group of people, they are part of the who's who in the up-and-coming future leaders. They're developing committees of correspondence and committees of safety, which I'm jumping the gun here because I was going to start talking about this because this is something that's been in the works for months. several months. There's up and coming projects that are going to be going on that we are right in the middle of, and it's very exciting. This whole thing wasn't about a self-reliance expo. Now, some people went there and they bought some gear and they bought some goodies and they got some great training. I put on two classes, Communications 101A and 101B. I'll be uploading those audio files and I'll see if I can get the video of the PowerPoint uploaded to share with you guys just, you know, what that audience got to hear. That audience was not necessarily Redoubters or Patriots. They were from all over the community. This was an event that was sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and the community. But see, the Chamber of Commerce and the community organizations are, these guys are all members of who put this on, the organizers. They have a vision. It's amazing the patriots that I was able to connect with. Every single one of these events that I've gone to has been a quantum leap in developing relationships, connecting dots, defining the vision, and narrowing the focus on our mission. This is an amazing thing. So many things are going to come out of this that I'm going to be sharing with you guys in the coming weeks. You're going to see it unfold. These are an amazing group of patriots. I love them dearly. And you know what's interesting is that they and I realize we're all on the same mission. I told one of them, I said, we're all going down the freeway, but we're just in different lanes. We're all heading toward the same direction. We all have the same vision. We all have the same destination. And that's to fight for and preserve Americanism. And that's where we're on our way to. And you guys are part of that. You guys are part of making that happen. Whether you're in the American Redoubt or you're not, or you plan to be, or you're in the middle of the process of relocating and redoubting, you're all making that happen. You're spreading the word. Facebook, Radio Free Redoubt, the social media. You're telling your friends. You're making CDs of the podcast. You're passing it along to others. I'm going to be redefining the mission of Radio Free Redoubt. Not changing it, but we're going to fine-tune things. And we're going to start working toward being more efficient. We're going to be attacking issues that affect us in a real methodical manner. We're going to start turning things up. And so this is going to be an exciting time to be in. So anyway, thank you all for your support. And normally, you know, I want to get right into the news and commentary and cover that stuff. But I just really want to share this stuff with you guys because you're all part of it. Now, we've asked for volunteers. Hey, if you see a need, you see an area or something, you have a specialty or a skill that you can fill, that you can step in, you say, hey, I got a cool idea that might help things out. Well, we've got a code name Java Man has been working on this idea for the longest time and trying to, you know, play around. He's does computer stuff, website development and IT work. I'm not even sure what the word for it is. I'm sure I'll get a letter from you. Java Man, thank you so much for what you're doing. What he did was he put together a website called American-RedoubtJobs.com. I'm going to post the link on the highlights and resources posting for today. It's brand new. So the point here is to have patriot, conservative business owners who are in need of employees to post, and a place for redoubters, patriots, conservatives that are redoubting or that are in the redoubt looking for employment. This is going to start off small. We're going to really work hard. If you guys could think of some ideas to help solicit, get, you know, to track down businesses that are looking for conservative, God-fearing, like-minded, patriot, self-reliant employees and employees who want the same in an employer, then we want to put this directory together and put it to use so we can get redoubting citizens moving here hooked up with work and vice versa. One of the things that he's looking for feedback is the categories. He wants to have just more than the three categories that are there. So that makes it easier for people to find the kind of work that they're looking for and for the employers to find the type of employees to match that up. So that is a brand new project that is in its absolute infancy stages. And we have that to look forward to. Okay, lots of stuff coming up. Let's get into the news and commentary that things that could affect you as redoubters to keep you informed. Of course, news and commentary in this segment are sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. It's the story and novel of the future collapse in America and, more importantly, the rebuilding. You can go to 299days.com. And this weekend at the rally, thanks to Autumn Torres, man, she's a firecracker, what a patriot warriorette. She's good at getting the word out. She was there with Scotty from the 299 Days book, the real Scotty from in the book, one of Glenn Tate's team members. Really cool guy, real low key, just a cool guy. I really like him. And I didn't get a chance to spend time with him. I was going to do an interview with him, but, well, things got a little hectic. But that was a pretty cool treat. Let's see here. From Andor Riot, Michigan residents lost their right to farm this week thanks to a new ruling by the Michigan Commission of Agriculture and Rural Development. This is that sustainable development garbage that we're seeing spread like a cancer across America. Gail Filburn of the Michigan Sierra Club told Michigan Live, the new changes effectively remove Right to Farm Act protection for many urban and suburban backyard farmers raising small numbers of animals. Backyard and urban farming were previously protected by Michigan's Right to Farm Act. The commission ruled that the Right to Farm Act protections no longer apply to many homeowners who keep small numbers of livestock, chickens, rabbits, things like that, no more. So in the American Redoubt, we've got legislators that are fighting toward enabling you to be self-reliant. In other parts of the country, not so much. Not to say we don't have a battle on our hands here, but we have a lot more like-minded representatives fighting this agenda. From StoryLeak.com, the Department of Homeland Security is partnering with a Washington State school district to recruit future employees through a new high school curriculum. Well, we got some real world indoctrination going on here. And now this was leaked from an employment application that was posted by Evergreen Public Schools a week and a half ago, requesting a certified Homeland Security instructor to steer young students into a career with the agency. Oh, wow. You say Hitler Youth? Instruct high school juniors and seniors in skills and knowledge leading to an entry-level employment or further education in Homeland Security occupations. The job description reads, the in-depth instruction will include theory, application, and work-based learning activities. The instructor will work closely with the Skills Center and administrative staff and the Program Advisory Committee to continually upgrade the program, I'll bet, curriculum, and skills competencies outcomes needed by the students for employment. So they're going to be grooming them right out of high school to work for Homeland Security. The course will be overseen and shaped by the Homeland Security Advisory Committee, a group consisting of government, academia, and private sector employees who provide information and security-related recommendations to the DHS secretary. All kinds of cool contracts are involved in that, huh? Contracts, grants, all kinds of funding. Of the many requirements, applicants are informed of their duty to meet with the committee on a regular basis. Attend all Homeland Security Advisory Committee meetings. Actively seek consultation and advice from the Advisory Committee. This is pretty interesting development here. We're going to have to watch. If you guys see this going on in a school district near you, you see this in your local paper or something like that, let us know. We want to keep an eye on this trend. It's not a good trend, but it's one to be expected. Okay, guys, let's take a quick break. Fox 519 has got Eye on the Economy segment coming up, and I haven't even listened to it yet. Darn it. So I'll do that right now. Okay, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt, Fox 519. Take it away.
Help us, Patriot 01. You're our only hope. While the world remains busy with the latest jokes our dark side Sith Lord, the President, had just told at his correspondence dinner, we here at Radio Free Readout stay busy with our Rebel Alliance fighting the Empire. This is Fox 519, and I would like to say, May the 4th be with you. Happy International Star Wars Day. This week we saw huge job numbers roll out, some staggering news about who works in American families, and more news about Russia and China and the deals they are starting to make around the world. Once again, this is Sunday, May 4th, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. And now that I've indulged my nerdy side a bit, let's refocus. This week, we saw some huge numbers come out about the jobs report. This week, it was released that the U3 level of unemployment fell to 6.3%, and the mainstream media celebrated. But that isn't the complete picture. 806,000 non-farm payroll jobs were shed last month. This number is the biggest yet. But to add insult to the injury, well, maybe it's a blessing, the Fed is also going to be lowering its QE buying to right around $45 billion, too. This shows us two things, everyone. One, things are not getting better. People are out of work at record rates, and that is going to put people on more entitlements. And two, the Fed is doing whatever it takes to lower its exposure when monetary collapse takes place. Times are going to be getting really tight real quick, everyone. Are you ready to handle what's coming? In other U.S. news this week, a press release was put out by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics that announced the results of a study that they had conducted to find out how many homes had unemployed individuals. The report breaks it out in various ethnicities, but the biggest, most important fact that came out of the report was this. In 20% of American families in 2013, according to the information from the BLS, and maybe I define this, a family is defined by the BLS as two or more people who live together who are related by birth, adoption, or marriage. So in 2013, there were 80,445,000 families in the United States. And in 16,127 of those homes, or 20% of, no one had a job. So tell me, are things really getting better? Is the economy recovering like they say? If so, where are the jobs? Where is the ability for people to provide for themselves and make a better life for their family? These are the cold hard numbers from our government, everyone. Like I said in my previous story, you've got to be ready for everything that comes our way. Finally tonight in international financial news, Russia is up to its old tricks again, and this time it's partnering with Iran. Iran and Russia are negotiating a power deal worth $10 billion in the face of increasing U.S. financial alienation. The construction of the new thermal and hydroelectric plants and a transmission network are in the works. Iran's energy minister, Hamad Khrishchyan, I'm going to pronounce it that way, it doesn't sound Christian to me, met with his Russian counterpart, Alexander Novak, in Tehran last Sunday in order to discuss the potential power deals. According to Iran's news agency, Mehr News Agency, this was the statement. Expansion of the Iran-Russia relations are not only to benefit the two nations, but they're also beneficial to the entire region. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani stated this in a meeting with Novak in Tehran on Sunday, or last Sunday, and it was reported in Iran's Fars news agency. Plans include the construction of this hydroelectric and thermal generating plants and this new transmission network. The possibility of Russia exporting 500 megawatts of electricity to Iran is also in the cards. The strengthening of economic ties between the two countries is heightened significance given both the economic sanctions on Iran and on Russia. Moscow additionally has been discussing the trade of 500,000 barrels of oil of Iranian oil for Russian goods in Tehran. This protracted deal was the first reported at the beginning of April and could be worth as much as $20 billion. Well, none of this last story should surprise you, everyone. We know that Russia is doing their best to kill the petrodollar. Fellow readouters, it is only a matter of time now before the petrodollar is dead and our currency takes a nosedive. Well, with these three stories in mind, here was what I'm doing in the coming week. It's back to the land again for me and the other foxes here. And Mother's Day is almost upon us, which means that here in the readout, it's going to be planting season. Please, fellow patriots, with the amount of jobs disappearing and the tensions heating up with Russia, make sure your food independence plans are coming along. You've got to be ready to provide for your family when the oil prices drastically jump because of world war. You aren't going to have a grocery budget anymore. You're going to have to commit every available dollar to fuel. Well, thanks again for listening and indulging my nerdy side once again with me. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless. Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519. As you heard last week, our friend and fellow patriot John Jacob has put out the call for monetary support for Radio Free Readout. I have felt extremely burdened over this past week and wanted to reach out to each and every one of you 8,000 listeners. I wanted to take a moment to let you know the impact of what John does for each and every one of us. John's dedication to Radio Free Readout is absolutely amazing. I've personally seen it in action. He's an amazing godly man who loves his country and the cause of freedom and liberty, and I personally consider him a brother. We all need to support him. $5. That's all it takes from each one of you. $5. The mission of Radio Free Readout is simple. We want the principles of our founders that they laid out for us brought back, and the attitude of Americanism to regain its place in the hearts of our leaders' minds. I don't earn any money for what I do each week in Eye on the Economy. I volunteer to do it. But John does. He needs our support. We need to rally around and help him. If you can this week, I'd like you to log on to www.radiofreereadout.com, and I want you to contact John to see what you could do to get him that $5. Imagine if each one of you were to do this. Imagine the good that Radio Free Readout can continue to do. Imagine how many people we could reach, the equipment we could upgrade to reach more people. Imagine what we can do for John and his family, so he can provide and make a living for them. All the partisans and I support John and what he's about. Radio Free Readout only exists because of your support. So please take a moment today and donate. Thanks again. I appreciate you guys listening. This is Fox 519 signing off.
Wow, Fox 519. That is very humbling and kind of embarrassing. thank you so much, sir. You are a great friend and such a great supporter. 8,000 a week. That's actually, well, we don't know. We're estimating probably, it's hard to say. Yeah, probably about 8,000 a week. But we have about, it's also estimated we have listeners into the tens of thousands, 20, 30, 40,000 listeners across the country, because not everybody listens every week. You know, it's really common to run into people. Oh yeah, I missed the last couple shows, but, I caught the two in a row before that. And, you know, so, you know, as far as regular listeners every week, probably about 6,000 to 8,000. And then, probably about 30 or 40,000 listeners, estimate this loose estimates just by talking to some other people who've worked with, you know, podcasting, broadcasting, and things like that. Now, it's not unrealistic, actually. You know, I've talked to Dave and Beth from AMP3, and they travel all over the country doing gun shows, preparedness and self-reliance shows, teaching medical classes, and of course, you know, hosting usually a booth for AMP3. And Dave told me this weekend, because their booth was right next to ours. That was a blessing in a way. I mean, I didn't really get to spend much time with them because they were busy, we were busy. But I was able to, you know, sneak a few minutes with them here and there. And he estimates that they get about 15 Radio Free Readout listeners or supporters every time they do a show or an event, an expo. About 15 listeners each time. Over the weekend, we'll approach them saying, hey, say hi to JJS for us, you know, and that's just pretty cool stuff. That's just, so hi to you guys. Hello. Thanks for being out there. It was interesting. I mean, a lot of the partisans, you know, of Radio Free Readout get to see what goes on behind the scenes. Pauly 01, Delta 01, Fox 519, you know, Mrs. Schmidt, they, and of course, all these other people that I work with, the Amron operators, they know this is more than just a weekly podcast. That we're working with leaders, with the committees of correspondence, which we'll talk about in the next segment, ongoing projects, and working with up and coming or existing leaders in the American Readout movement. We want to bring you guys information, news, and updates, and the truth, especially if they're relevant to God-fearing Americanism, cherishing citizens. We have one, you guys haven't, I haven't talked about him a whole lot. Rock02 has been so supportive covering several of these events with, elected officials. And when there's a, some type of an event, forums or, town hall meetings. Well, you guys remember that I covered, a show, in the show, episode 1410, there is a situation. Oh, actually, you know what? I made a little note to myself about what Fox 519 just had to say. And I just got an email also from Pauly 01. A couple questions. People are saying, you know, hey, how do I go about supporting Radio Free Readout? I want to get behind this. We have several things that we're sorting through as far as ideas and suggestions, but one that has really taken a hold, that the kind of the trend that, that people are following right now, is that you can go over to the support Radio Free Readout tab, click on that, and there's a couple of different ways. Now, what we're seeing mostly is people just pledging $10 a month. And the most common popular way is that folks are just setting up, they go to PayPal and just set it up as a recurring payment. So just every month, just $10 comes out. And that seems to be the most popular way. Some of you are not familiar or not comfortable using PayPal, and I understand the reasons for that. I do. We do have a PO box, a mail drop that you can send contributions to. And that is also under that support Radio Free Readout page. Just to answer those of you who have said, hey, how do I go about doing it? I'm in, you know, where, what do I do now? So that's the best way to do that. Okay. Rock02. He did a follow-up story because I was not able to make it. And this was his report. A simmering feud over the northern border of the American Redoubt between Shane and Christine Dodge, which we interviewed in 1410, and the U.S. Border Patrol came face-to-face Friday afternoon in a meeting brokered by Congressman Raul Labrador, representative for Idaho's 1st District. If you recall from episode 1410, Radio Free Redoubt interviewed the Dodges, who stated that the Border Patrol agents claim to have greater access rights to the land than the property owners, including determining when they could hunt on their own land, and that a field supervisor made veiled threats about shooting their dog. Now, this is for all of you who've been asking for updates on this story. Here it is. The meeting was held at the Bonners Ferry Visitor Center and was attended by Christine and Shane, the Dodges, Congressman Raul Labrador, the Boundary County Commissioner Lee Pinkerton, who's a former Border Patrol agent, and Border Patrol Supervisory Agents Figueroa and Regalado from the Spokane Sector Office, as well as numerous agents from the local Border Patrol station at 3 Mile in Bonners Ferry, including the supervisor in question, John Tucker, and concerned North Idaho citizens, friends, and neighbors of the Dodges. The tension in the room could not be ignored, and tempers flared as allegations of past disrespect and implied threats of violence came from both sides, along with accusations of outright lying and misrepresentation, while Commissioner Pinkerton repeatedly tried to get the disputing parties to work towards some kind of coming together instead of just rehashing past grievances. In a somewhat surprising admission, Supervisor Tucker stated that he had been directed by his superiors not to comment on the Dodges' claims. Other Port Hill residents spoke out, noting the oftentimes adversarial nature of the BP agents that they've encountered in different circumstances out in the woods. In the end, Agent Figueroa stated that his agents would be instructed to do as much of their duties as possible out in the no man's land area of the border, adjacent to the Dodge's land, while reserving their power to come on the property for emergencies and investigatorial work. He said that the work should be and needed to be done on developing cooperation with the residents. That is a positive outcome instead of confrontation. Figueroa also made sure the Dodges had a phone number for him in Spokane where they could get a hold of him right away if there's any future disputes, instead of letting issues fester. For their part, Christine and Shane Dodge agreed to try to put past issues behind them and work on improving communications. While the hatchet may not be totally buried up in Port Hill yet, it does seem to have been set aside for the time being, and in light of other citizen or government engagements currently going on, this one in the redoubt appears to have been handled the way they should be, with the people exercising their right for redress of grievances, and government addressing, not ignoring, those concerns. This could be an example for other departments and agencies. See, when people act like people and they get together and sit across a table from each other, they can work things out. And I know the tempers flared during this meeting, and there was still finger pointing, and the mediators tried to keep things calm, and they did that. They actually came to an agreement. And it was refreshing to see a representative from our government, no, an agent working for a bureaucracy in our government, conceding and saying, we need to work together here. Here's my number. Call me. We'll stay off your land, and if we need to go on there, we'll coordinate with you. That's refreshing. That's what it's all about. And one thing that Rock 02 noted was that after the meeting, they were rushed out because they had to lock up the building. Then they're all standing out in the parking lot. Then they started talking about small talk, carrying what type of guns you carry, having a barbecue, talking about things like real people do. The demeanor completely changed once they were all just not sitting across the table from each other as adversaries, but as just people. And he said that you could see the barriers start to come down. Pretty interesting. They're real people on both sides. And sometimes you just got to see the humanity on the other side. Now there's enemies out there that, you know, you can't always deal with this way. But when you can avert a lot of hostility and hostile feelings. Okay, in the last piece of news here, I just want to let you know that there's a holster company that is redoubting their business to Idaho. This is just part of the correspondence here, and I'll be trying to get an interview with these guys to talk about exactly where they're moving to, the type of company that they have. It is a holster company. Many of you have heard of it. As an aside, we are moving in June to somewhere in Idaho. We are a Christian family with myself as a libertarian, and we are looking forward to moving to a free state. Well, sir, you are moving your business to the right place because Idaho is a free state, and we do have a fight ahead of us. In fact, we have a fight ahead of us that a lot of people are paying attention to. NorthIdahoPolitics.com, which is operated by Christian Fioravante, that's his website, has posted several of these debates. Forums that have taken place in Bonner's Ferry, and that is uploaded so you can get familiar with your candidates, because May 20th is going to come up before you know it, and you need to be informed. We also posted over Idaho Public Television will be airing a series of debates that started last Thursday, and they have a schedule this week. Or coming up, let's see, today's the 4th. Okay, so the 8th is the next one. The 8th, 9th, 9th, 11th, 13th, and 14th. Between the Idaho Supreme Court, Lieutenant Governor, 2nd Congressional District. These are all forums where you can hear the debates, and each of these candidates basically lay it all out there, what they stand for. Also, May 13th and May 14th will be the Secretary of State and the governor seat, respectively. You'll be able to hear Senator Russ Fulcher, who's the candidate and patriot candidate for the governor seat in Idaho. And so all that stuff's coming up. There's no reason for you guys not to be informed. And that's going to be aired on Idaho Public Television. We'll put the links on the highlights and resources posting, so you can just click right on through, see that schedule. This segment has been brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They are providing outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, which is in the heart of the American Redoubt, where battles for patriotism are underway. You can learn more by going to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, or you can click on the banner over on the right side on the website, and you can get with some experts to find the property that's right for you in your relocating. One last thing before we go into a break. There is another event coming up on Thursday evening, May 15th, at the Greyhound Park and Event Center in Post Falls, Idaho. Dick Heller will be speaking in his Second Amendment Idaho tour. If you guys remember Heller versus the U.S., this was the District of Columbia versus Heller. This was a landmark case and a victory for the Second Amendment that was won by. It was a victory for the Second Amendment. I'll let you hear all about his story. We're going to post that on our events part of the page, which is at the very top. Well, it's on the website. You'll see it. All right, I'm just rambling now. But anyway, May 15th, Thursday night, Radio Free Redoubt. We'll be streaming that live. I believe we are providing the audio support for that, and we plan on streaming that live to bring that to you guys who are not able to make it. And then we will also be uploading the audio file for you. It's always better in person if you're able to show your support. Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea, and constitutional attorney will also be there. Stay right there, and we will be going into segment three here right after this message.
I believe the strength of a nation lies at its core, the family. With the busy day-to-day lives we sometimes find ourselves in, set aside time for the family, a time that's sacred and is never compromised, a dedicated portion of the day to just focus on one another. Ronald Reagan said, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." I fully agree, and that means no texting, surfing the internet, watching TV, or eating alone in a bedroom or the living room. That time belongs exclusively to your family, so guard it. You might be amazed at the difference such a simple routine can make in your family. Who knows? Maybe something greater than yourself could come out of it. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Going into segment three, this segment is sponsored by AMP 3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They sell and distribute and train you how to use medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. Great to spend the weekend with them this weekend. It was just really a good time. We got an opportunity to meet people who had never heard of the American Redoubt. Most of them have, many of them have, but many also had not. So this is a really good opportunity. Well, it was some very interesting conversations that we had as well. Besides, of course, always a privilege to be able to meet supporters face-to-face, but to explain this, to teach it to new people. I got to plant lots of little seeds when I was teaching this communications classes, one on Friday and one on Saturday for an hour each. But I was talking to one couple and they said, hey, have you heard about the American Redoubt? And, you know, and they looked at the little map of the American Redoubt and they said, we've just heard some things about Idaho and that it has kind of a reputation. And of course, I didn't even let him just continue. I just said, it's true. It's all true. It's full of patriots, just like Prosser Washington. And they both kind of just stared at me for a minute. I'm not sure if that's what they were referring to, what they heard, the reputation. But But they had expressed that they'd thought about moving, you know, into the American Redoubt, you know, like to Idaho, but had just heard some things. I don't know what they meant by that. But, you know, I asked, well, where do you live? And they said, well, right here in this area. They're talking about the Prosser, Washington, central Washington area. And I told them, you're already in the American Redoubt. You don't have to decide to move to the American Redoubt. I mean, the American Redoubt goes all the way to the Cascades. So I told them, you know, don't be deceived by the map of the American Redoubt that you see on. That's a logo. You know, whether you're looking on Survival Blog, Charles Carroll Society, Radio Free Redoubt, or anywhere else that you see it, that's a logo. It's a conceptual. It's a concept. It's the depiction of an idea. Now, if you want to know where the border goes, look at the voting maps of Washington State or Oregon, for that matter. Now, when you go there, look at the blue counties. Now, where you see the blue end, that's where freedom begins. The spirit of freedom, the American Redoubt, which actually would put a border pretty much right down the Cascade Mountain Range, which is pretty exciting because that means that Kashmir, Washington is also inside the American Redoubt, which is very important because that's where they make applets and cutlets. So we have applets and cutlets. And anyway, that's just a little thing. But it's kind of interesting to talk to people who haven't heard about it before, and they're asking information. And one guy, he was asking about AMRON, and he says, well, I'm not sure. I don't think I can join because I work for the government. I said, well, that doesn't matter. You're a patriot, right? This isn't an anti-government platform. This is an anti-tyranny platform. But now, if you work for the government and, you know, you want to support tyranny, well, then AMRON is not right for you. But if you're one of the many, many patriots in the military, God bless you guys too, by the way. I haven't told you that for a long time. If you're in uniform wearing green, God bless you. If you're in uniform wearing blue, you're a patriot. You took your oath seriously, then God bless you guys. Thank you for being out there. And I love hearing from you guys too. We got a lot of people in the military that listen as well. I got a letter here I want to share with you guys, because this is really kind of the heart of what was, like I said, it's more than just a preparedness expo. This was actually something more that was happening that most people didn't see, but this was taking place. There was a lot of activity going on. I got this letter this last week after last week's episode. Mr. Schmidt, I just want to thank you for your military service, your show, and the values that you promote. I cannot even begin to explain how happy and blessed I felt when I found your show, and cannot believe I had not found you a long time ago. I only located your podcast last week. I am a missionary currently assigned to a refugee population here in the United States after serving overseas on a missions assignment. Listen to this story. He's a missionary working in the U.S. with a group of refugees. As this whole Bundy Ranch situation unfolded, my friends that are seeking asylum here said to me, "What is wrong with the American people? This is what our military and our government did to us, and it will only get worse if they don't stop it." Now, these people are speaking from firsthand experience. It is their reality. And you know what else they're saying? What will we do? Where will we go? This is what he wrote in here. "Anyways, I was touched by your latest podcast and wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your hard work, your honesty, and your openness to your faith. May God bless you and all those around you, my brother. I will surely add you to those I pray for and see how else I can help you. Shalom, Sean." Okay, thank you very much for that heartfelt letter. Just like, I don't know, 100 letters just like this that I've gotten. So many of these are saying the same thing. So this was unique. He's working with people that came to America to flee oppression, and they see what's happening. They see the trends in our own country, and they're saying, where else are we going to go? I have interviewed immigrants. I have spoken to many of them, and they all say, you cannot let America fall. There is no place else to go. Whether we have to preserve America or whether we're willing to are not the same thing. there is one last place to go to, and people are going there. It's the American Redoubt, but it is an appeal to heaven. I want to share something with you guys here. We must appeal to heaven, just like the colonists did in early America, because when they went up against the British Redcoats, the odds that they faced, the military textbooks, the history textbooks, all the odds were that the colonists were going to get smoked. It was absolutely defied all reason and logic that these guys won the battles that they won in. There's no question that it was divine intervention. Now, we're seeing something happen in our country. It was a victory for the Patriots. The Patriots down at Bundy Ranch, who stood side by side, people from all walks of life gathered together, including politicians, you know, elected officials, Patriot leadership, and all this stuff, stood there and they pushed the tyrant back. Now, since the dust has settled, we've seen a division in the ranks. We've seen Patriot groups, organizations, militias, and supposedly leadership men, godly men, leadership, turn on each other and start ripping each other's throats out over this. Now, what's happened because of this is now the Patriots are losing hope. And what is the loss of hope? Despair. Because they're looking at these guys going, our leaders, these are the guys, they're going to lead the way. The next Civil War, the Revolutionary War, whatever, to fight tyranny, these guys are the ones. But then all of a sudden they start ripping on each other. Now the infighting takes place. Now they're losing hope. I know, because you know what? I'm hearing from you. Now people are saying, where else is there to turn? These are supposed to be our leaders. And now they're sitting there finger pointing and acting like kids, tearing at each other. They're not acting like Christians. And now you've got the Patriot conservative community all at odds with each other. Where are our leaders? Where are our godly leaders? Well, let me tell you something. This is a cool thing to have happen. This is a very good thing. You know what's happening right now? There's a sifting taking place. This is where, like I said at the beginning of the show, the goats are being separated from the sheep. Godly men are going to be rising up from this. The people are being prepared right now. People you have never heard of will rise up because they are being prepared for the times ahead. The people you think are the leaders now won't be. They will be nowhere to be found. They will either destroy themselves, destroy each other, or they won't rise to the occasion. It won't turn out how you think it will. But if we make sure that this turns out for His glory, then it will turn out for us. As God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots, we must appeal to heaven, because we will lose if we don't. If we appeal to ourselves, if we appeal to other men, we will be disappointed, we will be let down, and we'll lose. There's a sifting taking place. All of this has to happen. Now, you just hang on for the ride, and you watch what happens as things unfold, because His hand is moving right now. And it is just amazing to watch. I wish you guys could see what I see. I wish you could meet the people that I get to meet. I wish you could be in the discussions that I'm blessed to be able to be part of. You're going to start seeing that in the coming months. And this is a very neat thing. And I want you to be encouraged. I am. So anyway, more of that to come. We've got a lot to look forward to. I want to share some things with you from a gift that I got this weekend. It means very, very much to me. And then we'll try to get everything wrapped up. All right, stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The peach is in the grove. The peach is in the grove. Again. The peach is in the grove. End of message.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Last week, I, along with many of my Republican colleagues, introduced a series of state sovereignty bills to exempt Washington from participation in a nationalized health care system and a national cap-and-trade program, and also to protect our right to bear arms through the Washington Firearms Freedom Act. The Democrat response? The Speaker pro tem of the House claimed Republicans wanted to leave the Union. Local Senator Chris Maher even inferred to a group of constituents that Republicans are racist. Next, are they going to say that the Republican Party is a militia? Well, you know you're making gains with a response like that. State sovereignty is about keeping the nation together and fighting Democrat attempts to destroy small business through bigger government. Nationalized health care and a national cap-and-trade program are not going to lead us out of this recession. They're going to further crush our economy. But the bigger point here is that President Barack Obama and Democrats like Senator Chris Maher have created a cloud of fear that is overshadowing this country. Businesses are afraid to build new factories, buy new equipment, or hire new employees because of the uncertainty surrounding what new regulations, mandates, and taxes are going to come out of Washington, D.C. and Olympia. The people are afraid of proposed gun bans and rationing of ammunition, so they're cleaning out store shelves. Fear and anxiety are everywhere. State sovereignty is about hope. If the federal government would just get out of the way and stay in its constitutionally designed box, we would be free to fix our own problems right here in Washington. If we need to fear anything, it's the notion that more socialism is going to solve our economic crisis. Instead, we should look to 2 Chronicles 7:14 for the answer. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, revrealty.us, and may God bless you.
Going into segment four on Radio Free Redoubt, I am John Jacob Schmidt. And don't forget, you can always contact us. Email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Visit our website if you are listening to a CD or you downloaded this onto your audio device, MP3 player. Don't forget to check us out at radiofreeredoubt.com. And also remember, whenever you correspond, if you are a member of the American Redoubt Network, and especially if you're an Amron operator, in either case, when you're corresponding, please include your Amron call sign or your ARN code name so that we can keep that together in our heads as much as we can. segment four is sponsored by Katie Armor, Patriot-owned business building a top high quality product. This is personal body armor and accessories. You can learn more by going to katiearmor.com. That's katiearmor.com. And of course, you know, they've got the plates, front plates, back plates, side plates. And now with the frag coated, the anti-spalling coating, very high quality product. So support them. They put out a great product. Let's see here. Now, I got a letter from somebody who said, "Hey, can we order some merchandise? I live in Illinois and would love to represent Amron." Yes, a little quick follow-up. Last week, I talked to our t-shirt guy, made the hats and t-shirts for us to take over to the show. They have the website now, the store, the online store. They're going to be handling all of this for us. So it's one less thing that we have to deal with. And I had to light a little fire under him because I said, "What's up with the store? I got people asking, you know, they want to buy." He goes, "Oh, it's supposed to be up. Let me make a phone call." So anyway, I'm not going to bug him today, but tomorrow I'm going to be all over that because that is supposed, it's so close to being operational. it actually should have been last week. So I will follow up with that and we'll let you guys know. I have not forgotten about that. Trust me. Okay. Something that's developed, that's coming up and coming that I want you guys to be aware of and be watchful of. And if I want you to be a part of course, and support if you're able to, or if you feel called to. But something that you're going to see is something that there is historical precedence for. Actually, is very, very critical part of the founding of our nation. These are called committees of correspondence and also committees of safety. Now, what does that mean? Well, as you guys know, there are patriot conservative leaders. I work with many of them, and we've formed various loose coalitions trying to strategize about how to move forward to advance Americanism, and especially to promote the American Redoubt and formulate a response for coming events. If things collapse, there will be a power vacuum that will be quickly filled by some system. As I mentioned in one of my classes that I taught this week, there won't be like the movie The Road, where everybody wanders around for the next 20 years in rags, you know, aimlessly, and there's really no society. Some system will emerge, and it will not take long. So the objective here is to take the initiative and start planning for that response now. Now, you know, anybody can plan for the response for your family, and you should be, but really, as far as what type of system emerges that we're going to live under, if we want that to represent Americanism and what the founding fathers had envisioned for America, we've got to have leadership, business leaders, community leaders, elected officials, statesmen on board with this agenda. And they are. Now, I haven't talked about it much. Like I said, Radio Free Readout's not just a weekly podcast. There's a lot of stuff that's going on to secure Americanism for the future. This is a very proactive, deliberate, intentional agenda that's being worked on. That's why we need your support. Not just so we can keep doing a podcast. It's so much more than that. But what have been formed and for the last several months, and this is something that's going to really start to accelerate, are committees. Now, let me just read you from history.com just to give you a brief overview. There's a lot of information out there. You can start reading about this and educating yourself. Committees of correspondence were the American colonies' first institution for maintaining communication with one another. They were organized in the decade before the Revolution, when the deteriorating relationship with Great Britain made it increasingly important for the colonies to share ideas and information. Now, as I read this to you, stop and start thinking American Redoubt. Start thinking patriot leaders coordinating and communicating with each other about concerning issues and what it could potentially develop into, most likely develop into, as things continue to deteriorate. So, take Great Britain, take colonies, and apply this to American Redoubt states and communities and federal government. So, when the deteriorating relationship with Great Britain made it increasingly important for the colonies to share ideas and information, in 1764, Boston formed the earliest committee of correspondence, writing to other colonies to encourage united opposition to the Britain's recent stiffening of customs enforcement and prohibition of American paper money. The following year, New York formed a similar committee to keep the other colonies notified of its actions in resisting the Stamp Act. So now they're starting to share information. This correspondence led to the holding of the Stamp Act Congress in New York City. Nine of the colonies sent representatives, but no permanent intercolonial structure was established. In 1772, a new Boston Committee of Correspondence was organized, this time to communicate with all the towns in the province, as well as with the world, about the recent announcement that Massachusetts governor and judges would hereafter be paid by the, and hence accountable to, the crown rather than the colonial legislature. More than half the province's 260 towns formed committees and replied to Boston's communications. In March of 1773, the Virginia House of Burgesses proposed that each colonial legislature appoint a standing committee for intercolonial correspondence. Within a year, nearly all had joined the network, and more committees were formed at the town and county levels. The exchanges that followed helped build a sense of solidarity, as common grievances were discussed and common responses agreed upon. See, they would love it if you didn't correspond with one another. If you're just one little isolated little island out there squeaking your opposition, you know, against this overreaching regime, you're insignificant. But when all of you who have the same complaints and grievances start communicating with one another and formulating a strategy, that's a force that cannot be ignored. When the First Continental Congress was held in September of 1774, it represented the logical evolution of the intercolonial communication that had begun with the Committees of Correspondence. That's from the Reader's Companion to the American History by Eric Foner and John Garrity. So I'll post the link up there. You can start seeing just a little bit of a glimpse about what committees of correspondence were. Now, there were also committees of safety. Many committees of safety were established throughout the 13 American colonies at the start of the American Revolution in 1774 and 1775. Remember, it was April 19th, 1775, that the shot fired that was heard around the world took place. That was the day after Paul Revere and the other writers rode through the night warning the colonists that the Redcoats were coming to disarm them and to take their ball and powder. They became shadow government. Now, the committees of safety became shadow governments that took actual control of the colonies away from the royal officials, who became increasingly helpless. These committees in part grew out of less formal Sons of Liberty groups, which started to appear in the 1760s as a means to discuss the spread awareness of the concerns of the time, and often consisted of every male adult in the community. The local militias were usually under the control of the committees, which in turn sent representatives to country, countywide, and colony-level assemblies to represent their local interests. This is another very critical component. The local militias were usually under the control of the committees. Look at all of these other countries around the world that are in conflict, where there are militias who are not under anyone's command or control. It is anarchy, and the exact opposite of what they're intended to do happens. And we saw that in Bunkerville, where you start to see these differing militias and different groups start to, the egos get in the way, and all of a sudden there's division. They're not accountable to anybody, and they don't want to be. Who are you to tell us what to do? You won't tell my men what to do. My men, me, my I, right? And so when these committees are formed, then these militias come under the control of the committees. Level-headed, God-fearing men who approach their decisions prayerfully, who say to the militias, this is our objective. This is how we want you to carry it out. They're answerable to someone. This is very important. Accountability. Committees of safety formed in 1774 to keep watch on the distrusted, loyal government. By 1775, they had become the operating government of all the colonies, as the royal officials were expelled. Massachusetts took the lead in the appointment of a committee of safety so early as the autumn of 1774, of which John Hancock was the chairman. These aren't nobodies. These are influential people. It was given power to call out mandatory militia with penalties for failing to respond to a call-up and provide means of defense. It provided many of the duties of a provisional government. Other colonies appointed committees of safety. One was appointed in the city of New York, composed of leading citizens. In the spring of 1778, the New York State Legislature replaced all committees with commissioners of conspiracy. In North Carolina, the demand for independence came from local grassroots committees of safety. The First Continental Congress had urged their creation in 1774. By the following year, 1775, they had become counter-governments that gradually replaced royal authority and took control of local governments. They regulated the economy, politics, morality, and militia of their individual communities. After December of 1776, they came under the control of a more powerful central authority, the Council of Safety. These committees of safety were in constant communication with committees of correspondence, which disseminated information among the militia units and provided a clearinghouse of information and intelligence on enemy activities. See where I'm going with this? This is the future that we're being forced into out of necessity, not because it's just a great idea or it'd be cool, it'd be necessity. This is the times that we're living in. We're approaching these type of measures to follow in the footsteps that men have gone before us in, godly men, prayerful men, educated men. And I see no other solution to fixing the problem in this country. And again, it goes back to an appeal to heaven, because the trillions of dollars we've borrowed from the Chinese has been backed up by our natural resources. And we are in so much trouble. I cannot even articulate to you the level of danger our nation is in and its citizens. And there is only one way that we have any hope of preserving Americanism. And that's when his remnant gather together. Because what's coming, if you're not part of that remnant and gathered together, there may be no safe place for you. There may not be anyway. We cannot defeat on our own what we're faced with, what's gonna unfold in front of us. So I want you guys to just think about that. I was given a gift this weekend by some very dear friends of mine. And this is something I've always wanted. I've been wanting for the longest time. I normally read the New King James Version, and I got placed in my hand the American Patriots Bible. I've always wanted this. Father's Day is coming up. Birthday's going to be coming up. I'm trying to think of all these, you know, keep putting it on the list. Well, it's very difficult to find. At least it has been. The American Patriots Bible. What a gift. I mean, I was like almost choked up. There is so much history throughout this Bible, and there's scriptural references for each of the founding fathers and the doctrine that they were incorporated. It shows how they were so influenced by the Word of God and is interwoven through every part of the founding of our country. This was an amazing thing. They flew the flag and appealed to heaven. I'm looking through this. There's so much American history, our Judeo-Christian heritage, all through this Bible, where it was just a cool thing for me. In the front of it, I started reading. Now, we talk about preserving our Judeo-Christian heritage, our Judeo-Christian values, the American Redoubt, you know, conservative, God-fearing. What does that really mean, Judeo-Christian? What does that mean? I mean, you can kind of wing it. You can come up with a few ideas and you can articulate it. But there's a whole section in here called the Seven Principles of the Judeo-Christian Ethic. And I'm going to read those to you real quick. Actually, they're whole paragraphs. I'll just read the first sentence of each of these. These define us. This is who we are. We need to be able to define this. We want to protect our Judeo-Christian heritage, our values. Well, what does that mean? Tell me what it means. Well, you know, it's our, you know. So, I mean, that's kind of where you get stuck, right? Okay, principle one, there's seven of them, the dignity of human life. The scriptures emphatically teach the great importance of the respect and preservation of human life. It goes on further. There's just a whole paragraph and it uses scripture to support that. Principle two, the traditional monogamous family. Our society has been based upon the belief that the biblical view of traditional marriage and family is the backbone of a healthy social order. Principle three, a national work ethic. Ingrained deep within the American spirit is a willingness and the desire to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Principle number 4, the right to a God-centered education. We see in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How can one understand the creation without first knowing its creator? The answer is that one cannot. Principle 5, the Abrahamic covenant. A covenant is a decision involving two individuals or groups stating that they will keep a promise or fulfill an agreement between them. This principle of the Abrahamic covenant states that if a person or nation obeys God, observing the moral truths found in the Bible, that that person or nation will be blessed. Principle 6, common decency. Simply put, this is the belief that a decent nation is made up of decent people. That nation, when faced with any trying or difficult situation, will do the decent, right, and honest thing. And for the most part, that has been the record of our national history. Principle number 7, our personal accountability to God. Perhaps the greatest restraint against acts of evil toward others is the knowledge that every person and nation will one day give an account for their actions to Almighty God. Certainly, the Bible tells us that we are responsible for our actions, and we must be accountable for what we do or don't do. It also teaches us that there is a penalty for doing wrong and a blessing when we do that which is right, noble, and just. That's cool. We need to be able to define what we stand for. It needs to be clear to us. It needs to be ingrained into us so that we do not waver when we're faced with opposition. I just went over to Amazon. I was just looking at some of the reviews, and of course, they're all just like overwhelmingly positive, but there's one here. This so-called Bible is nothing more than another blatant and shameless attempt by the religious right. Wow. The religious right to manipulate those who are ignorant. Well, if somebody's ignorant, don't they need to be educated? Anyway, and to distort and muddle the truth by mixing politics with religion. Well, I'm glad that our founding fathers didn't have a problem mixing politics with religion. But if they weren't, then they may as well just stayed under the rule of the king. It is unfortunate that they have now resorted to what is essentially a sacrilegious use of the most holy book in attempts to infiltrate churches. Oh, we're trying to infiltrate churches with reminders of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Essentially becoming as a thief entering through the back door to garner the flock. God's word is much too precious to be used by deceptive practices as a way to influence the political system. This is evil, using the Bible to influence the political system. This Amazon reviewer writes this. God's word is much too precious to be used by deceptive practices as a way to influence the political system. If you got a political system that's not influenced by the Bible, you're in trouble. But there's some strange thinking people out there. You've got to know what you stand for, and you got to stand by it. You cannot waver. Okay, guys, I'm going to address some communication stuff when we come back, and then we'll wrap everything up. All right, stick around. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Okay, welcome back to segment five and the final segment here on Radio Free Redoubt. Communications, let's talk about it. Now, communications, first of all, look on the directory. We're adding new nets all the time. Thank you guys so much for stepping up and doing that. You're making this system work. You're starting up nets in your area. Look at the directory, join a net. If you don't see one in the directory over at amron.com, then start one. And even if you're the only one consistently doing the net week in, week out, that's okay. Consistency is key. And we commend you for your dedication to that. Very important. Occasionally, we put out messages. We have various different operations and training and things like that going on. And so if you hear a message on Radio Free Redoubt and it makes absolutely no sense to you at all, it's probably not intended for you. It's probably intended for a specific individual or group. And so there may have been a little bit of confusion with a message tonight. Just want to let you know that. Okay, don't worry about it. It wasn't for you. The person it was intended for knows exactly who they are. Okay, I got a letter. Hi, John. I passed my ham tech license test. I have a Baofeng radio, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting your technician's license. That is just cool stuff. Now, you guys who haven't tested yet or you're considering it, to get your ham license, you don't have to have Morse code anymore. You understand that. It's not a big, scary monster that you think it might be. But I got another listener letter here, speaking of Baofengs, for all of you guys with Baofeng fever. Which one do you recommend, he asks. The UV-82 or the UV-5R or the UV-5R Plus? Now, I happen to have all three for testing purposes. The UV-82 I thought was going to be, I was excited. I'm like, man, this is going to be great. It's a new radio. It's like better flashlight. I do not like it. I do not like to switch to VFO mode. You got to turn it off, hold down the menu button, then turn it on while you're holding the button. It's just, there's several features I don't like about it at all. If you, the key, the mic, the button for the push to talk button is like a toggle. You push on one side of it, it flips over to channel A, push on the other side, it flips to channel B. And so you can just inadvertently use it and respond, and it switches frequencies on you. So I don't like the UV-82 at all. The UV-5R and the 5R Plus. Now, I bought the 5R and then they came out with the 5R Plus. Well, the 5R Plus, I mean, why would it be plus unless they added more to it? There must be something. I bought one. I fell for it. I paid $5 more, and all it has is a shiny faceplate. I expected it to have more channel memory capacity, more storage, you know, more memory channels that you could program into it, more something. Nope. The software, the programming in it, everything is the same. The firmware might be different, but that can change between the same model. But otherwise, all the electronics, the programming, all the features, everything is the same. You just get, you're paying $5 for a little shiny metal faceplate. So I recommend the 5R. Here's another huge thing that you need to know about. The 5R can accept 3,700 milliamp, the large capacity extended life batteries. Well, they do not fit on the 5R Plus unless you modify it. Take a Dremel tool and you got to start carving pieces out off the battery and or the radio itself to make it fit. I don't even want to mess with that. So the 5R Plus, it's the least expensive. It's reliable, great features. It functions well, and it's amazingly durable. I mean, you drop them, kick them. I had one guy this weekend say, have you had a problem with your charger? I mean, your charger's going out. I've seen it on the forums, but I've never had a problem. And I know of no one personally who's had a problem with the chargers on the Baofeng UV5Rs. This guy says he went through five of them Like, well, okay, something's not right. If everyone I know is not having problems with them and you just burned up five of them, you got some issues in house. You need to check. I don't know what your power source is, but you got some dirty power. Something is frying your stuff. So you need to investigate that. And don't keep plugging five of them in. I mean, five in a row and just keep frying them. Something else is up. It's not your charger. Okay, you got some real dirty power somehow. And you need to run that through a surge protector. You know, I don't know, talk to the geeks at, you know, one of these little geek stores and say, hey, you know, how do I clean up my power? So something to think about. Okay, I got another one. I was just chatting with my neighbor who is a ham operator, and he brought something up I wasn't sure about. Channel 3 on the little FRS GMRS radios is considered high power and officially needs a GMRS license to transmit on that channel. I looked at the owner's manual, and the channels 1 through 7 are GMRS and need an FCC license. Now, FCC license for GMRS is $85 for 5 years. I don't know what brand you're using that it would automatically go to 5 watts. Okay, I was wondering if you could publish a note on the FRS line. We'll be using Channel 9 to run our test nets, as I don't have a GMRS license or a ham ticket yet. Now, most of these radios that have the FRS and GMRS shared frequencies, whatever you set that power to, that's what it's going to put out. 1 watt or, you know, a half a watt. I'm not aware of any that bumps the power up on a shared GMRS or FRS radio. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but one thing, this does trigger something that I want to mention to you guys. FRS legal limit is 500 milliwatts. That's a half a watt. The Baofeng radios cannot go down any further than 1 watt. So you're twice the legal limit. Now, I know everybody does it. Okay. And, the distance that you're going to be able to reach between a half a watt and 1 watt on the FRS channels is so insignificant. I can't imagine that there'd be any way for them to even track that down and cite you for it. But just to be aware, it is right now, it's not an emergency. It's not legal for you to use the FRS channels. Some of you guys are starting nets and you're trying to, you know, start up FRS nets. Okay, here's one good way to keep it legal. Use MERS. MERS has 5 channels. It's part of the CH3 program. Program the MERS channels into your Baofeng radios as well. Go to channel 3 and run your nets there, because there you can run legally 2 watts. And you're going to be less crowded anyway, because there's fewer people that have MERS. So that way you can not worry about, you know, for people that really get upset about, oh, we're over the legal limit. Well, then use MERS. You know, it's a pretty easy solution. And you're going to get better performance out of MERS anyway, because you're in the VHF. You're going to get longer, better range than you are on UHF in the first place, especially on your lower powers. Hope that helps out a little bit. Okay, and then finally, one person asked me, basically, why should I pay for 2 licenses and call signs when 1 will suffice? Well, that's kind of a rhetorical question. I wouldn't pay. Actually, you know what? There are people out there that want GMRS licenses and MERS, because you can use the GMRS repeaters. You can run at higher power. And maybe that's part of your group, your church, your family communications plan. But you also want to be a ham operator, because you want to be able to talk, you know, have expanded communications capabilities. The GMRS is very limited, but some people really like them. Matter of fact, we have Amron nets that run on GMRS. That's fine. It's not in the communications SOI, but we want to encourage you guys to have your own parallel communications program separate from the Amron SOI. But you just use the Amron SOI to tie in with the larger network. But off to the side, you've got your own or organic communications plan that's not listed anywhere. It's just between you and your group that you agreed upon. You can use any type of communication, a business band. Somebody in your group's got a plumbing company and he's got, you know, 5 radios and he wants to distribute. You guys can all operate on his license. Great. Because I know of people, business owners that have done that. They paid the business license and they operate in the business band under, you know, the roofing company or the landscaping guy or the guy's got a small fleet of trucks, you know, with dump trucks. And so that's also part of his prepper communications plan. Smart. And you know what else? With communications with business, the business bands, you can legally use encryption. So that's something that I brought up this weekend at that class. So why should you pay for two licenses? Well, only if you want to have two licenses and operate both in GMRS and ham. You cannot operate legally. If you're a ham operator, that does not give you the legal right to operate on GMRS at full power. You must have a GMRS license. And for that one, there is no test, but it's $85 for 5 years. For ham, it's $15 for 10 years. And you have way wider capabilities and reach, a lot more options available to you with different modes. And that pretty much wraps it up, guys. A lot of information I threw at you tonight, but it's a lot of good stuff I just wanted to really share with you. We are on track and everything is good, and I'm more encouraged than ever, and I thank all of you for that. Please continue with your support, with your prayers, and enable us to be able to achieve these goals of preserving Americanism and advancing the American Redoubt. You guys have a blessed week. God bless you and everything that you set your hand to. And until we meet again next week, I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.